High wire was a play on words, a literal description of the tether that we had just unreeled. But of course, Archibald meant something else, too. Yes, I said. As we have torn open one payload after another, I've been keeping an eye out for anything that would serve as a... And I checked myself on the verge of lapsing into astro jargon. I'd been about to say, atmospheric re-entry and deceleration system, but it sounded as wrong here as it would have back among the page trees. Archibald finished the sentence for me.
A way down.
Yeah. And now that we've unpacked everything and thrown away most of it, stripped down to the absolute basics, it's clear that there is nothing here that can get us back to Arb. Never was. I thought about it as I watched another mushroom cloud skidding along below us, rapidly diluting itself and paling like dawn in the cold upper atmosphere. Archibald picked up the thread I had dropped.
So you told yourself that they would send up a re-entry vehicle for us later, launching it from, say, there or there.
He pointed at the mushroom cloud we had just passed over, then at another, new one, burgeoning a few thousand miles to the east of it.
Or wherever that's going.
He was obviously referring to another rod that was just now streaking across the atmosphere below us. I don't know what it hit. Maybe a rocket factory. Of course, Archibald was making the point that we were all dead now, beyond rescue, unless we could make it to the Dabinernud. I was irked, just a little, that he had put this picture together a bit quicker than I had. And I was also thinking, here we go again, bracing myself to spend the next 10 hours hard-linked to Archibald, trying to talk him down from a condition of near hysteria, persuading him to gulp sedatives from the supply that, I presumed, was stored somewhere in the suit. But he wasn't being that way at all. He was grasping the truth of our situation as clearly as anyone could, more so than I'd done. But he wasn't upset. More bemused. When we were evoked, I reminded him, you said there was a rumor we'd just get taken off to a gas chamber.
Indeed, he said. But I was envisioning something much simpler, quicker, less expensive.
It was the kind of joke that would only be ruined by my laughing out loud. I somewhat wished that Jessery and Leo could be in on it. But indeed, before too much longer, our conversation flagged. Archibald disconnected from me and began making the rounds, as if table-hopping in the refectory. He was connected to Jessery when Jessery applied power to the tether. This was a simple matter of pumping electrical current down the wire to its far end. Of course, in order to make an electrical circuit, there had to be some way for those electrons to get back up to the nuke. Normally, that would have been provided by a second wire, parallel to the first, as in a lamp cord. Here, though, that would have defeated our purposes. Fortunately, we were in the ionosphere, the extreme upper atmosphere permanently ionized by the radiation of the sun, so that it conducted electricity. We got the return path for free. Current only flowed in one direction along that wire. Consequently, it interacted with Arb's magnetic field in such a way as to generate thrust. Not a lot of it, not like a rocket engine, but unlike a rocket engine, we could run it continuously for days and gradually spiral into the desired orbit. Still, all this time later, the orbit that Ayla and I had watched the Dabinernud settle into by following a trail of sparks across a page in the Presidium. As long as Archibald was hardwired to Jessery, he acted as communicator to the rest of us, getting our attention with sweeping arms and pantomiming a suggestion that we all grab onto something. Then he counted down with his finger. At 5, one of his skellahands became redundant, and he used it to grasp a bracket on the control panel of the nuke. At 1, he grabbed the bracket with his other hand as Jessery flipped a switch. The result was not dramatic, but it was perfectly obvious. We saw the tether adopt a slight bow, just like a taut string being acted on by wind. As it did, the cold black mirror yawed around slightly and settled into a new angle, no longer looking straight down at the surface of Arb, but now canted almost imperceptibly sideways. And that was the whole event. We were under thrust now, as surely as if Jessery had fired a rocket engine. It was, though, a thrust too subtle for our bodies to feel it, and it would have to act on us for days to have any effect. Once that had been done, I had a few moments to think about what Archibald had been saying. Even taking into account Jules and Jad's medical troubles and my nuke escapade, it had to be said that the launch and the assembly of the coal black mirror, the firing of the decoy, and the deployment of the tether had all gone better than we'd had any right to expect. No one had turned up dead, or mysteriously failed to turn up at all. There'd been no accidents, no one drifting helplessly away. We had recovered as many of the payloads as we needed. Since that had seemed like the most obviously fatal part of the mission, it had put me in too sunny a mood. But 10 seconds' reflection sufficed to make it obvious that this was a suicide mission.